sure we are recording. Sam, what did you have for lunch?
I had a wonderful sandwich. No, I think it's more like MPs having me for lunch.
Right, Sam. From the letters, there seems to be lots of confusion about what exactly the restructuring is about, and also about this mystical word digital, which people are very confused by.
I'm not surprised there's confusion about what the restructuring is about, because I think as far as World Service listeners are concerned, one of the key points is that this was a restructuring which wasn't about the World Service, it was a restructuring about the BBC as a whole. And the idea behind it is that what the Director General has concluded is that he wants to go fully down the road that he started on some time ago, which is fully to separate the business of commissioning programmes and channels from the production of programmes for those channels and the provision of resources to support those programmes. And he believes strongly, and the evidence across the domestic BBC over recent years has very much borne him out, that by making those separations, the commissioners focus very hard on what their audiences need, the producers concentrate very hard on the programmes they're making, and the resource providers concentrate on providing the right resources. And the story has been that costs have come down very considerably and that the quality of programmes has risen. And his strong belief is that this will be the case in the new arrangement. Now, when it comes to digital, I think the real point with digital is part of the same thing, that if you're going to really concentrate on what it is you're providing, the digital age provides the possibility of a far greater range of services than the BBC has had before, far greater variety of services delivered in all sorts of different ways. And I think he would say, and I can exactly see why, that the old environment in which a single management was responsible for deciding what services to deliver and delivering them becomes much more difficult to sustain when you're into multi-channel and multimedia, and you need a group of people commissioning to look in the complexity of the digital world at what it is we should be delivering and let those producing the programmes get on with making the programmes for the audiences.
There is a consistent theme through the letters from listeners. They're worried that the World Service will lose its independence in this plan. Ruth Heifetz's letter says she fears it'll be dismantled. There's a great deal of worry that news and programmes will come under the domestic agenda, so to speak, and lose their global scope.
Well, I can say to Ruth that at the beginning, when this was announced, it's a concern I shared, and I think everybody with an interest in the World Service shares, and many still do have that concern. I have spent the past 6 weeks looking hard at what the implications of the reorganisation are, and looking to feel assured that I can guarantee the continued specific focus of World Service programming on World Service audiences. I do think I'm in a position to say there is that reassurance, because World Service, above all, is going to be the commissioner and is going to be the specifier of exactly what programmes it wants. And we have, for example, announced this week that the provision of news for World Service, both in English and the provision of those news services to our language services, is going to be carried out by a single unified department, yes, within an overall BBC News division, but a department focused on serving World Service audiences under an editor who is World Service focused, and that happens to be going to be the existing editor of World Service Radio News. So that focus will undoubtedly be maintained, I'm quite confident of that, and I don't think either I or anybody else in the BBC, and certainly not either the Director General or the Chairman, would allow that focus to be lost, because that's what World Service's large audiences have been built on and must be sustained.
And there was the view of the radio professional, Rich McClear, the American. He said that radio would inevitably be swamped by TV in any arrangement like this, because of the sheer money that's involved in television.
I, again, quite understand the worry, and it's a concern that there's been, not in the context of this reorganisation, but for some time among programme makers in radio, both in the World Service and in the domestic services. Of course, the big money is in television, and there are inevitably going to be worries about that. But I think in the end, that's down to people like me and my colleagues who are going to be specifying what it is we want. And we won't be handing over money to anybody else except for services that we get that suit our audiences. That is what we've got to do. And I think we can specify what we need for the radio audiences and then go ahead and commission it. And all the evidence so far is that while there may be efficiencies of bringing television and radio people together and have people who can do both radio and television, when it comes to actually making programmes, you will have people making programmes for radio and different people making programmes for television. So while I understand the worry and we all have to be vigilant to make sure that there is no such dilution of radio by being more widely involved with television. While the concerns are there, I think they are concerns that can be met.
And finally, there was Professor Kabakchi in St. Petersburg. He was worried about the future of English language teaching on the BBC because of this integration. He feels that would be lost.
I think I can reassure the professor that English teaching won't be lost. We are very aware of the important role that English teaching programmes have played on World Service for many years. And as I said earlier, the fact is that I and my colleagues will be commissioning and specifying what it is we want to have on World Service, whether our English language services or our foreign language services. And there is no doubt in my mind that English teaching programming will continue to have a very important place in those schedules.
And finally, Sam, I mean, there have been a lot of letters, ones I haven't mentioned today, often emotional ones, like Ian Polio's at the beginning of the programme, saying, effectively, please do not destroy the World Service. Can you reassure them?
I can certainly reassure all our listeners that World Service is not going to be destroyed. Whatever one thinks or doesn't think about the nature of the reorganisation, World Service is both too important and too strong for a managerial reorganisation to be capable of destroying it. I think the same would go, there's some people who've said in the past that if we ever had to leave Bush House, it would be the end of the World Service. Well, World Service is stronger than bricks and mortar as well, and will continue to be so. My job, and that of my colleagues, is to be sure that through this reorganisation, we can maintain the focus of World Service programming on World Service audiences, and continue to provide the quality services to our audience that we always have in the past. That's going to be the job I'm going to be doing. The reorganisation, in one sense, complicates it because we have to begin to cope with a new set of circumstances, but I'm quite sure we'll be able to do that.
Sam, thank you.